My laughter woke Queenie, and after a surprised instant, my friend laughed too. Her cheeks pinked, and a light flared in her eyes. Rising, she hugged me and said, "Oh, buddy, I knew you'd forgive me and recognize there was some sense to my notion." She was mistaken. My merriment had other origins. Two. One was the picture of Uncle B carving turkey for all those cantankerous Hendersons. The second was, it had occurred to me that I had no cause for alarm. Miss Sook might extend the invitation, and Odd's mother might accept it on his behalf, but Odd wouldn't show up in a million years. He would be too proud. For instance, throughout the Depression years, our school distributed free milk and sandwiches to all children whose families were too poor to provide them with a lunchbox. But Odd, emaciated as he was, refused to have anything to do with these handouts. He'd wander off by himself and devour a pocket full of peanuts or gnaw on a large raw turnip. This kind of pride was characteristic of the Henderson breed. They might steal, gouge the gold out of dead man's teeth, but they would never accept a gift offered openly, for anything smacking of charity was offensive to them. Odd was sure to figure Miss Sook's invitation as a charitable gesture, and see it, and not incorrectly, as a blackmailing stunt meant to make him ease up on me. I went to bed that night with a light heart, for I was certain my Thanksgiving would not be marred by the presence of such an unsuitable visitor. The next morning I had a bad cold, which was pleasant. It meant no school. It also meant I could have a fire in my room and cream of tomato soup and hours alone with Mr. Macabre and David Copperfield, the happiest of stay-abeds. It was drizzling again, but true to her promise, my friend fetched her hat, a straw cartwheel decorated with weather-faded velvet roses, and set out for the Henderson home. "I won't be but a minute," she said. In fact, she was gone the better part of 2 hours. I couldn't imagine Miss Sook sustaining so long a conversation except with me or herself. She talked to herself often, a habit of sane persons of a solitary nature. And when she returned, she did seem drained. Still wearing her hat and an old loose raincoat, she slipped a thermometer in my mouth and then sat at the foot of the bed. "I like her," she said firmly. "I always have liked Molly Henderson. She does all she can, and the house was clean as Bob Spencer's fingernails." Bob Spencer being a Baptist minister famed for his hygienic gleam, but bitter cold, with a tin roof and the wind right in the room and not a scrap of fire in the fireplace. She offered me refreshment, and I surely would have welcomed a cup of coffee, but I said no, because I don't expect there was any coffee on the premises, or sugar. It made me feel ashamed, buddy. It hurts me all the way down to see somebody struggling like Molly, never able to see a clear day. I don't say people should have everything they want, though come to think of it, I don't see what's wrong with that either. You ought to have a bike to ride, and why shouldn't Queenie have a beef bone every day? Yes, now it's come to me, I understand, we really all of us ought to have everything we want. I'll bet you a dime that's what the Lord intends. And when all of us around see people who can't satisfy the plainest needs, I feel ashamed. I'm not of myself, because who I am, an old nobody who never owned a mite, if I hadn't had a family to pay my way, I'd have starved or been sent to the county home. The shame I feel is for all of us who have anything extra when other people have nothing.